Going to continue a second part of a talk I started last week on character being the foundation for growth. Just got this little interlude before we come back to Mark. Debs will be bringing us back to Mark in a couple of weeks' time. Just felt there's a couple of things we just wanted to share first of all. And so this is the second part of a talk which I gave last week. And one of the quotes which I brought to us last week is, the formation of one's character ought to be everyone's chief aim. I don't know if the guy's a Christian or was a Christian, but that is a very much an important aspect, I think, which we as church need to get hold of. And charismatic churches can often emphasize gift and charisma and other aspects, and that's important too, but character is very, very important. So last week I spoke on the importance of character, and it's actually very fitting, I think, just either side of the sanctification week, we've got this emphasis. But if we're to build well and live together in love and harmony, we need to address issues of character in our lives. And that's why I felt, rather than go on to my next thought, which will be next week, on community, I just felt I wanted to spend a little bit more time just on the importance of character. Because building character is like digging deep and building on a rock. And of course, it's essential that we build on good foundations. And I really do believe that the Lord wants to build a work here at the Pavilion which will shine brightly in Reading and beyond. But to do that, there needs to be firm foundations. And I find it interesting, at the end of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, which is all about character. If you read through those chapters in Matthew and Luke, it's all about character. He says this, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't take any notice of them, basically, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." The rock is Jesus. He is our foundation. He is our salvation. But he only becomes that when we choose not just to hear what he has to say. He only becomes that to us when we choose to obey what he has to say. Note that in what Jesus said here, it's not if storms come, but it's when the storms will come. And each of us will face storms in our lives. It might be relationship challenges, it might be theology challenges, it might be financial challenges. Godly values and priorities can get challenged in a secular society. Maybe it's vision or marriage. At some time, we will all face challenges in our lives together. And Jesus said it's only he who's taken to heart his words and put them into practice who's going to survive those batterings of life. So it's important, isn't it, that we listen to what he has to say. And we build and we obey on that strong foundation. You see, it's our character which shows spiritual maturity or lack of it, not our gifting. It's our character which shows how we're walking with God, how close we are to God, and how we're developing in him, not our gifting. Some more words from Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire," Jesus says. "Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." We had a really nice evening last night with some friends in the church here, had a meal together and a really nice chat together, spent some time together. And the husband said he has gifts of discernment. And I said, we need them. We need discernment. But you know, Jesus just gives us a little test here. This is how we discern. It's a very simple little test, really. If you're bearing good fruit, you're okay. But if you're bearing bad fruit, beware. If there's good stuff which is in your lives, because he's in your lives, it's going to come out. And people will be blessed and they'll be encouraged. But if you're not really sorted out, bad stuff is going to come out. Good trees can't bear bad fruit. Bad trees can't bear good fruit. Very simple. Just look at their lives. When people like, I won't mention names now, but some of the big televangelist sort of guys and this, that, and the other, and so, some people get very critical of them and they think that their emphases are wrong and their priorities are wrong. I just have a very simple little definition or thought. What fruit are they producing? If souls are getting saved, and lots of them are getting saved, well, that's good fruit. So they must be good. God must be in them. It might not be your cup of tea, but God's blessing them. Good fruit is being produced. I hadn't realized, somebody prayed in a prayer meeting 20 years ago, Toronto, the Holy Spirit came at Toronto. There was all sorts of weird and wonderful things. I mean, stuff that I couldn't understand or work out and that we heard about. And maybe some was exaggerated, maybe it wasn't. And people said, is it God or is it the devil? What do? Look for the fruit. They saw 10,000 people saved in a few years at Toronto. Do you know what? That made my mind up. I might not understand, I might not even appreciate, might not all have been God, but God was there. Good fruit, souls, many souls for the Lord. And more than that, actually, people, we know Heidi Baker, you know, people like Heidi Baker, burnt out missionary, struggling in life, goes to Toronto, meets the Holy Spirit, meets God in a fresh way, and goes back to Mozambique and plants hundreds, if not thousands, of churches. Good fruit, because she met with the Lord and has fallen back in love with him again. So, simple, you know, I'm not a man of great discernment, I don't feel. But good fruit is a good sign. So I go along with that. That's what Jesus says. He goes on to challenge, though. And he says this, I haven't put these words up, but just after this, he says, you know, the challenge is that some of you think your spiritual gifts show that you're saved. Some of you think that using spiritual gifts is all that you need to do and confirm your salvation. And Jesus said, you know, I never knew you. He said, what do you mean? We've prophesied in your name. We spoke in tongues. We've healed. We used to tend the pavilion. You know, we went to sell. I even called you Lord. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. Challenging words. You see, he is not looking to see what gift you've got. He's looking for character, because that's his life, his fruit. Now, I'm all for gift too. You know that, don't you? But character is so, so important. It's by their fruits that you will know. And changed lives is one of the most amazing fruit, I think, that we can expect and we do see. And I thank God for it. I mentioned a name or two last week. I could have mentioned loads of names of people whose lives have been changed because God has come into them. And it might not happen overnight, but as you look back, you can see, wow, once I was like that, and now I'm like this. And if you remember last week, one of my favorite verses, you know, having Paul having described how some of the really bad stuff in our lives, and then he says, and that's what some of you were. And I love the tense. That's what you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And that's what the Spirit of God's been working this last week, sanctifying us. You see, it's not stay as you are. It's come as you are. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Whatever you've done, come as you are. But the gospel message, the good news is, but don't stay as you are, because I've got a better life. There's, as we repent, and it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, as we come to him, he changes us on the inside. It's not me trying to make myself better, trying to make myself more holy. No, I just ask the Holy Spirit to come in. And like Lewis was saying, you know, there's some practical little steps that we can take which just give more space for God rather than filling up our minds and things with all the other stuff all the time. And as we just allow God to come in, we find perspectives change, priorities change, love grows in our heart, a desire. Didn't want to stop meeting. That's what it must have been like in the New Testament. They met every day, not just for a week, they met every day. Didn't want to stop meeting because God was in the midst. Hallelujah. So this is all good stuff, but I just want to carry on a little bit. I didn't finish last week, and then we had the Sarah Burnham. And she came and spoke to us. And this was a verse I wanted to bring last week, which I didn't get time to bring. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I've got some thoughts on submission, which Sarah provoked really in me as I was thinking about it. You see, it's so important if we're to live together in unity and love that we submit to each other too. And I wanted to come to say to you, there are two directions for submission. I wanted to tell you there's a vertical direction, which Sarah touched on. I'm going to refer to that in a moment or two. And there's a horizontal direction. But I've got to say, based on this verse, I'm not sure I can really do justice to that and tell you that's what it means. The main emphasis of scriptural submission is to authority over us. In the home, at work, in the church, in society. Respect and submit to those who the Lord has placed over you. And that was Sarah's emphasis. And just look at these things that she brought to us. Oh, have we got them, Craig? Or have they gone? Were they there? Keep going. I've got them in the wrong place then. Don't read that. Following Jesus equals following people. This is Sarah, not me. In practice, a big part of being obedient to Jesus is being obedient to the leaders in our lives. Ooh, ouch. She gave an amazing story of that young girl, Melissa, there. It's not about me, it's all about him. The lordship of Jesus dictates my priorities, my agenda, my values, and the whole purpose of my life. No wonder we had a good week last week. You know, this was some of the teaching which we needed to be reminded of. This is Sarah, bless her. I thought I had another one. This is it. Making Jesus the boss. The kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. Decision. I do what Jesus says. Sarah touched on this last week. I've lost my way now. Let me go back. Sarah touched on this last week. And I thought, it is so important. And she said to me afterwards, she said, Neville, you know, this is what we've been putting into practice in the church in California, and we've just seen the blessing, and she gave some testimonies. She said, I wasn't sure how many churches I could share this at, but I felt I could come here and just share that. And I wanted to say, amen, Sarah. Amen. So contrary to what we learn about outside here, but the church of God, we want to embrace Jesus' teaching. Even if it hurts, we want to say, yes, Lord. We want to be those which obey. So submission. Very easy when you agree, not so easy when you disagree. And that's when our character gets tested. At the end of the day, you see, it's not even simply doing what's been requested, but it's doing it with a good attitude, which is important. And this just takes things up to a higher level, isn't it? How is our attitude towards those over us? This is how we release the blessing of God. Jesus didn't want to submit to his Father's will when it came to Calvary. He did not want to suffer. He did not want to die. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, take this from me. Nevertheless, if this is what you want, I'm going to willingly go through with it. And he got the message. He knew that it was. He knew that's what he came for. And he died. And blessing has flowed to the whole world, because he was prepared to submit and obey. You see, our attitude in some ways is much more important than our action. That's where character gets developed. I quoted the verse because to me I wanted to come and not emphasize vertical submission. I wanted to emphasize, you know, let's submit to each other. But I've got to be honest and say, I'm not sure the verse means that, and I'm going to tell you what it literally means in a moment or two, but I have a feeling mutual submission, as we like to talk about, just like equality, is all a little bit of a myth. If you try to work it out in practice, it doesn't work. You know, the verse actually says literally, submit one to another. It's not, I'll submit to you, you submit to me, and we'll be happy. It's, I will willingly submit myself to you. Full stop. One to another. And that's a challenge. And that's a challenge that Sarah brought to us. And the challenge is even greater because we are called to submit to imperfection. But the Lord blesses those who obey. Hallelujah. There is something important about being prepared to submit and obey. And it's good for our character. Just waiting for an amen. Might be waiting for a while. Okay, I'll carry on. But my emphasis today wasn't so much on the importance of submitting. My emphasis today was on the attitude which we have in submitting to each other. I actually believe you can do what has been requested, but have the wrong attitude, and it's not really submission. This is what Joyce Meyer says. She's talking about faithfulness. And that's another important character trait, by the way. Sarah's a little bit. She says this. Do you know how God tests our faithfulness? He assigns us to do something for a period of time that we do not want to do, something that is not fun or exciting, something that may require us to submit to someone else's authority for a while, and he will speak to our hearts, just be faithful. Faithfulness is not showing up day after day. It is showing up day after day with a good attitude and an excellent spirit. God will reward that kind of faithfulness. You see, it's to do with the heart. It's not to do just with action, it's to do with the heart. And can you see how all of these attributes flow together? It's not just the doing, it's the heart and the spirit with how we do it that's important, because God looks on the inside. And you could put the chairs out, or you could set up refreshments or something, and if you've got the wrong heart, God is not pleased. But you might not want to get up early to get the refreshments all sorted out on a Sunday. You might think it's time for a lie-in or something like that. But you decide, but I said I'm going to do it. I'm doing it for you, Lord. I'm doing it for Life Spring. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be happy. Yeah, you've got a good heart. And God will bless that sort of response. It's the one who is faithful that hears the commendation from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. So can I share a challenge with you? Practical challenge. Sunday mornings. A group of us met to discuss the future of our Sunday meetings, just looking at how we can develop more and be more relevant maybe to those which don't know the Lord yet. One person said this, we need to change our whole attitude to Sundays. At the moment we come to receive, but we should come to serve and give. Sunday meetings, church, are not about us, but about those who are seeking. Now, that's radical. I thought it was for me. The reason I come to Life Spring, I enjoy the worship. I enjoy the teaching. I think it's absolutely amazing. Love to be challenged. I thought it was for me. But this first thought was, we're not here for us, we're here for others. That really is radical. Number two, somebody else said this. We must go for the best. We need to get better. It needs to be good enough to get people out of bed in the morning. Oh, that's excellence. We need to go for excellence. Excellence takes time. You know, even the best footballers didn't just become like that overnight. They trained, they got up, they disciplined themselves. You know, to be good at music, to be good at worship, to be good at anything, it takes time, it takes discipline. Wow. We need to be the best. We want to be good enough so that people want to get up at 9:30 in the morning and come here. Still someone else said it's about the heart. Our heart needs to be for the lost. And as we were chatting this through, you know, I just said a big amen. And we're going to share more at some time about practicalities here, but it needs a massive change of heart. It means we gather on Sundays to worship and be taught, yes, but our main focus isn't us. Our main focus is our neighbor. Our main focus is the visitor. Our main focus is those which haven't found the Lord yet. We want to have meetings where people come in and find the Lord and get saved. And that's going to take sacrifice and it's going to take faithfulness. It means I'm more concerned for others than for me. But wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting? Especially if every week we saw people give their lives to the Lord. Wow, just imagine that. Wow, that's where we want to go, I think. It's quite different from where we are now. But can we make the transition? Can we have Sundays primarily with non-LifeSpring people in mind? I want us to say yes. And then when we start two meetings on a Sunday, you thought I'd made a mistake about 9:30. No, we're going to be having 9:30 meetings at some time. Can we change? Can we join together with one heart and mind? Oh, but I like coming at 10:30. Well, 10:45 more likely. You know, I like coming at that time. And you know, I like to end at 1 o'clock because we've got our dinner getting ready. And I like to have a free afternoon. You know, who are we thinking about? Who are we thinking about? But if we could have two meetings in the morning, you can come a later one if you want to come to a later one then. And if we could see people saved, and if we could have something that people want to come to because they've heard about what God's doing, wow, I think that would be really, really exciting. But it's going to take commitment, and it's going to take a desire to put down our personal agendas and submit for the sake of the whole. Count me in. Count me in. I'll be there. I'll do whatever needs to be done to make it possible, because I want to share that vision too. So you can see why we need to check our hearts and our attitudes and deal with those nasty little foxes and commit to each other out of love and reverence for Christ. We must have a submissive attitude, an open mind, and a teachable heart. And when Hebrews tells us to obey our leaders, we don't often preach on that one either, do we? You know, it literally means be persuaded by your leaders. And I like the feel of that. It's, right, well, if that's what we're going to do on Sundays, I want to catch your heart, Neville and team. You know, I want to understand. I want to hear where you're coming from, because I want to be part. I want to play my part in this. I want to be persuaded. I don't want to just do it because you said that's what we're doing, but I want to run with you in the vision and help us change and develop into a loss-reaching church, particularly on Sundays. So we come with that heart that wants to obey and follow as we follow the Lord. James is, I think Luke did this, did he? Anyway, it looks very nice, whoever did it. James for the youth, a year of love, honour and respect. And I'm just going to read just something that James wrote in the introduction here, which is a challenge to us all. He said, the Lord revealed to us in November that this was going to be a year when, as young people, we're going to set the example to our friends, family, and dare I say, our church friends too. But what was going to set the example was our lifestyle. We're going to treat our pastors, cell leaders, parents, teachers, bosses, friends, and even our enemies as Jesus would treat them. And when we do this, I believe we will bring people to Jesus. And he goes on, of course, we'll have specific goals and stuff, but it's all to do with loving each other. Guys, let's believe for the impossible this year. Let's believe for growth. Let's believe for unity. Let's show love, honor, and respect, and let's set the example to everyone. Let's love Jesus with all our hearts. That's how we show our love, by doing what he says and by living his ways. So an attitude of submission. There's much more I could say, especially about New Testament leadership and character. You know, did you know, for example, that the New Testament qualities for leadership, with the exception of being able to teach, are all totally character-based? You know, we look for the gift, we look for the charisma. Paul looked for the heart, and he looked for their foundation. No mention of anointing, no mention of ministry, no mention of prayer life or spiritual gifts. Of course, we want all of that, but at the end of the day, the qualifications in the New Testament, men and women of good character. In Timothy, Paul talks about the importance of setting a good example. And he mentions five different areas in love, in speech, in conduct, in faith, in purity. They're all character issues. He says, set an example in these areas of your life. Watch your life and doctrine closely, he says, and you'll see people saved. See, when James says, you know, it's the way we live our lives that will bring people to the Lord, he's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. They don't want to hear one thing and see something else. Integrity is words and behavior being the same. One of the definitions of character last week was doing behind closed doors what people expect you to do in public. Yeah, that's integrity. That's integrity. And I believe God wants to just help us raise this banner of integrity at LifeSpring so that he can build on a good foundation. I'm just going to close with some words of wisdom and advice. First of all, from Nicky Gumbel. And secondly, from the Apostle Peter. But this is what Nicky Gumbel says, commenting on the Sermon on the Mount. Choose to live a radical life. Jesus tells us to stay on the narrow road that leads to life. On the narrow road, there is no room for pride, dishonesty, anger, hatred of enemies or unforgiveness. Humility is the order of the day. You have to give, to pray, to exercise self-control and seek first the kingdom of God. It is a road of purity, integrity, honesty and forgiveness. It is a road where you are required to do to others what you would have them do to you. You are to show good fruit by your character, lifestyle, teaching, actions, impact, and relationships. That's what Jesus is calling us to. We can all say yes to that. We might be struggling in areas. We say, come Holy Spirit, fill me again with your life. Sanctify me. Help me to be all of those attributes to demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going to be attractive to those that don't yet know the Lord. And in closing, I just want to read from the Message. I want you to receive this as an encouragement. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work. He's not talking to leaders, he's talking to us all. Chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know, we sang earlier, didn't we? The church, called to be light, called to be the hope of the world. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among your unbelieving neighbours, so that your actions will refute their prejudices, then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are good emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. Can we stand together? Now I wonder whether we could join really with James's group and make this a year of love, honour and respect. Starts with the household of God. You know, where there's issues, where there's areas in relationships that need to get resolved, we need to resolve them. It starts here with the household of God. Where we're struggling with love, honour, respect, where we're struggling with character issues, we've got cells, we can talk to our cell leaders, we can ask for prayer. But I just believe it's from the Lord that he wants to build. He wants to build strong. He wants to build big. He wants to build, not just us, of course, but with our other friends in this town, to make a difference in this town of Reading. The people will look at our lives and see the Lord in us. That, like Paul was able to say to his followers, follow me as I follow Christ. I want to pray for us that we see the importance of allowing the Holy Spirit to sanctify our lives. that we might be men and women of good character. Now, I know we're going to slip. I know we're going to fall. I know we're going to get cross and we're going to mess up. What do? We ask for forgiveness. We acknowledge we've made a mistake. We confess our sin. And he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you that you're a God that doesn't look on the outside but looks on the inside. And I thank you, Lord, because on the outside, most of us might not look like much at all. We might not be the most gifted. We might not be the most anointed. We might not be the richest. We might not be the wealthiest. We might not have all of those things going for us. But Lord, on the inside, I want to pray that you develop a heart of love for you, for your presence, that we might be obedient to your word. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you shed abroad the love of God in our hearts for each other. That we do what we need to do to honour and glorify your name here at LifeSpring Church. So Holy Spirit, as we come afresh to you, we want to give you permission to continue to shine your light. Deal with issues, deal with areas in our lives. So that, Lord, you can build big and you can build strong, knowing that we've dug deep and our foundation is on you and on the rock of Jesus. Lord, we pray this for your glory and in your name. Amen. Amen. We're just going to sing something in